Once everybody's settled, I guess I'll just begin by saying I guess it's time for me to conversate about the Cleveland Browns, where we are at the midway point of the season. From my vantage point, we definitely haven't achieved the mark that we want. We play in a league where, you know, winning is of the utmost, and competition and competing doesn't mean a lot at the end of the day if you don't consummate it with W's, and we've fallen short of that. Nevertheless, we feel good about the fact that our guys have competed, played well and hard through games. They're committed to winning. They're committed to staying here and being a part of the Cleveland Browns. And me personally, I think that's really the goal, is to continue to try to add guys to this team that want to be Browns, that want to grow what we're doing here, and want to bring a winner to Cleveland. So we're focused on that. Our college scouts are focused on that. Our coaches are focused on that. Our staff in general is focused on that. So with no further ado, I'll open it up to questions.
Multiple reports out there that you guys had these serious conversations with the Denver Broncos. The latest report is that you guys wanted a first rounder and another high pick. The two teams just couldn't agree on compensation. Can you address that?
I'll say this in a general context. So let's leave all the players' names out of it. The trading deadline creates a lot of controversy and a lot of scuttlebutt that generally results in nothing. So for an example, I would call a team and say, hey, take a look at our roster. Something interests you, give me a call. Same back and forth. As you go through that process, some things are made light of, some things are serious. Either way it goes, until something is imminent or until a decision is made or a transaction is consummated, it's all just fuel and fodder behind the scenes. Sometimes there's serious conversations. Sometimes those conversations are very innocuous and they amount to nothing. From my vantage point, we had some conversations, and at the end of the day, they all resonated in the same thing, nothing. So with that being said, we haven't done anything. We didn't do anything. But the reality for us is that that's generally how the trade deadline goes. Some people make some deals, some people don't. But generally, people open it up, and they have those conversations based upon what the reality could bring.
Do you speak to a player, again, I mean, Joe Thomas' name is out there everywhere the last 30 minutes. Would you go to a player like that and speak to him, given his status on this team, and try to explain what was happening or give your side of the account of what happened there?
When things become, I'll say, a distraction for some, like if a player can't, he doesn't understand kind of how the league is going. I think Joe's a pro. He's been around this long enough that he understands that when his name comes up, it's going to start a fire. Then it requires some sort of, you know, conversation with the player or with the agent to let them know kind of where the team or the club is at. You generally don't move players or have those conversations, specifically as information gets out as it does nowadays, as readily as it does nowadays, without having some sort of conversation with the agent and or the player.
Right, I mean, people are reporting this came down to the last second. It was that serious. With any trade today, were you close to actually completing one?
I don't know if I was really close to completing one. Again, we didn't actively go out and try to move anybody. There's not a single team that I called and said, hey, look, I'm shopping so-and-so. So there were no shopping from my perspective, but I definitely listen. And I think that's really the job, that's part of my job, is that when people call and they make offers and they suggest what they would like to have, see, or have done, then it is my job to listen and start to think about, is that a benefit to the Browns? And then in those conversations, those are the ones that we kind of take a little more serious and we have our internal conversations about.
Ray, did you guys overrate Wayne Bowe before signing him?
That's an interesting comment. I don't know if we overrated him. I think we made a decision as a team to bring Dwayne Bowe to the Cleveland Browns.
He's got that nice $90 million guarantee. He hasn't caught a ball yet. So what do you think of that situation?
What do I think of the situation? I think that every guy that comes to the Cleveland Browns is a Browns decision. And as we kind of move forward, it is what it is. Dwayne is in the circumstances he's in. And it's our job as the Browns to try to get Dwayne as many catches and opportunities as he earns and deserves.
What do you think is going on with
Black Friday? I don't really have a take on that other than, you know, my job is to try to help bring the talent here and do what we can to kind of come to some conclusions as to what we need to do to improve the roster. And we have conversations back and forth in all of it. And any decision that's made is a Browns decision, and we stick with those.
This is the time of year when the team's not doing well. The Miami coach was fired. Wisenhunt's gone now. Things are shaking elsewhere, and the Browns are 2-6. they've had a history of turnover, and everybody who follows your team is wondering how safe the jobs of the head coach and the general manager are. So what's going to happen with you and Fenton going forward next season?
The simple answer for me is that my job is to work hard and try to bring talent to the Browns. Continue to work in my environment, which is player acquisition, and so that's what I'll do. I'll continue to do that to the best of my ability, and work as a Browns employee until they tell me otherwise. But I haven't been given that memo.
Ray, when you are trying to consummate or talk through deals right now in these last couple of days, was it you, Patton? Anyone else that were kind of in charge of running this?
For all of our internal conversations are just that. There's a variety of people that we involve in our conversations internally, but who runs what piece of it is different based upon the relationship they have with who may be out there that we may be dealing with.
Ray, you mentioned that obviously it's your job to evaluate and add talent to this football team. A lot of people want to know why four first-round draft picks in the last 2 years really aren't impacting this football team in a positive way. And players that aren't here but got picked elsewhere after the Browns pick are having impacts. What is your position and your response to that criticism?
Players come along at different points in time. Guys grow, and I've said it routinely, that guys grow at different rates. So until the movie's over with, we'll just continue to evaluate and see where they go.
Do you think this coaching staff is getting the most out of the players on the roster?
Our coaching staff does a great job of doing what they can with the guys they have. They try to grow them. They work with them. They do everything they can. We're all doing the same thing. I'm working to get the best out of the guys in my department. They're working to get the best out of the guys in their department. And we're working to try to win games. And I think we're close in a lot of circumstances. We just haven't generated the results that we want.
Would you like to see Dwayne active more than the coaching staff has made him active?
I don't decide kind of who plays in that role. I mean, from my perspective, it's all about really trying to just add value. Whatever, when we ask questions and we have debates and we go through things, the coaches ask me, I tell them what I think, they tell me what they think, and again, we come up with group decisions.
What about younger guys like Johnny and Justin Gilbert? Would you like to see them given starting jobs so you can get a better evaluation of them?
I think nobody should be given anything. I've always been a fan of guys got to earn it, and the guy that earns it should play. Whether he's a college free agent, whether he's a first round pick, the guy that earns it should play.
At this point, what is the frequency of your talks with Mike Patton, and how would you characterize your relationship with Mike right now?
Excellent. Very good. We talk daily. That's what it comes down to. We our relationship has not changed.
What about Justin Gilbert? He's not playing, obviously, defense at all right now. He hasn't reached for the past 7 years. So despite the fact that, Bill's been out with injuries and things like that, do you still feel that Justin can be a good cornerback in the NFL?
I do. I think that he had a rocky first year, to say the least. And as he has kind of progressed, he's gotten better this year. And like I said, guys progress at different points in time. And as he continues to grow, he'll get better.
Ray, this team right now is 2-6. You've already conceded that that's obviously not where you and the organization would like it to be.
Say again? I'm sorry. One more time.
The team being 2-6, you already conceded. You're not where you want to be. How do you fix it?
How do we fix it? We continue to do exactly what we've done, just work hard, put in the effort, the time, and the energy, unearth better players, unearth better opportunities for our guys, and try to grow it as we see fit. That's really what it comes down to, is that we got to try to make the best out of the guys that we have and add better guys as we go forward. And the coaches got to do their job and try to get the best out of the guys that we have and move forward daily.
Ray, Mike said that the trade rumors were like a grenade going off in the locker room on Sunday. Are you concerned about any sort of long-term impact that has in relationships with certain guys?
No, I don't think I'm really concerned about the relationships with guys. I mean, I think I have good relationships in the locker room. I'm really candid, so when guys ask me, I tell them the truth. That's the one thing I will say. When guys ask me what's really happening, I just tell them. And good, bad, right, wrong, and different. That's kind of how it's been, and that's kind of how it'll be going forward.
Great. You Mike, you're talking a lot about that you're bringing the talent in as best you possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, you will be judged on how these guys are playing.
Yep.
I mean, from send that, you know, how is that going to be fair to the evaluation of you?
I don't know if there's anything fair in this world. Like, that's what it really comes down to. I mean, fairness is not really what I got into this for. Every decision that's been made, every player that's been brought in here has been a Browns decision. I don't sit in a vacuum. I keep saying it, but I know it's my job, and I know that people will look at me and hold me accountable to the players that are here. There's not one decision that has been about a player that I've sat and said and deemed we're going to do this, and this is what's going to happen. We've had conversations. We've made those commitments as a group, and like I said, I firmly believe that opportunity belongs to the guy that earned it, and whoever that may be, whether he's a college free agent, whether he's a first round pick, whether he's a free agent we paid money to or we didn't, we want the best players to play in Cleveland.
Should it be your decision, though? You mentioned that you have conversations, and obviously there is some collaboration, but is there a danger of, I guess, what I'm getting at, too many cooks in the kitchen, so to speak?
I'm a nerd by trait to some degree, so I believe in intelligence and people that can add to the conversation. I would tell you I'm also a reader, and so I've read some books that really talk to the fact of, like, you don't want groupthink. You just want a bunch of people in the room that think the exact same thing. And so from that perspective, I'm a big fan of involving people that come from different angles, that ask different questions. Those different questions could lead you to a better result and a better answer. And so I don't think that it's not predicated on one person wielding the throne and deciding what they want to do. It's a product coming up with a good process that leads to good decisions.
What kind of questions do you get these days from Alex Shiner and Jimmy Haslam? I would assume they aren't saying, hey, I'll go trade for this guy or get this guy next year. But how involved are either of them in personnel decisions? And I assume also that they're asking questions about the personnel decisions on some level or other. What kind of stuff are they asking?
The questions that get asked in any conversation are, strategic. Like from a strategy perspective, you know, how are we going to do what we're going to do? Which direction are we heading? And I think all of those conversations are healthy. Like, we want to know, where are the Browns going? How are we planning to get there? What are we planning on doing with the resources that we have? And those questions, I think, are fair, honest, and direct. I think that as we move through those questions, it lends us to make good decisions. It double checks our processes. It double checks our thought patterns on why we made whatever critical decision or whatever simple decision we thought there was to make. And inevitably, it leads to potentially a better result.
Shiner more into the football side now than he used to be?
I don't think Alec is more or less into any of it. I mean, Alec is just like the rest of us. We all have simple goals in here. We want to win, just like everybody in Cleveland. We want to win, and that's really all we're focused on. So as we add – whether I know Alec is somewhat of a hot button topic because it's out there in the media, but everybody in this building is focused on winning. Pet, myself, Alec, everybody else that's involved in the organization. So
you said that everybody, you want guys to earn their spot. Why do you think the guys like Justin Gilbert, Johnny Manziel haven't earned a spot on the field? And are you disappointed that they haven't done so yet?
Like I said, I won't say I'm disappointed. I'm also eager to see what guys do going forward, and that growth. Like I said, growth patterns happen for different guys at different points in time. I could take you through a number of stories of guys that have kind of gone from less than stellar rookie campaigns to being Hall of Fame players. So the question becomes, is the movie over after a single season, or do we have to continue to work with guys and give them an opportunity to grow? That growth, and as they continue to show that they're making the necessary strides, that's what you believe in. And I think that's what we believe in, and that's what we're continuing to work towards.
Are you surprised, though, that a year and a half later – Justin would be behind guys who are undrafted free agents on the depth chart right now?
Yes. Candidly, yes. At the end of the day, you know, we have a you want guys to play. You want them to play right away. You want to put them in there, and you want them to go to the Hall of Fame and the Pro Bowl. I wish they all were, again, to give you the easy one, I wish they all were Joe Thomas. You just come in, and guess what? You plug and play. He goes to the Pro Bowl. He never missed a snap, and The movie never stops, but that's not the reality for 99% of the people in this league, is that they have a learning curve, and some guys are steeper than others. And, when he gets his opportunities, I think he's embraced the notion of what he's had and the opportunities he's been given. So as he continues to give his opportunities, he'll continue to grow with those.
Do you still feel like Johnny Manziel can be a quality starting quarterback?
I do. And as Johnny continues to work through and do the pieces that he needs to do, then he'll continue to demonstrate those. I think he's done a much better job this year of doing exactly what he's been asked to do inside and around us. While we see him here in the building, Johnny's been doing the right things that we want to see him do from a learning and a growth perspective. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Greg, what do you feel like you've done to make this team better and to make this team better in the future?
I think what I've done is I've helped kind of bring a culture to Cleveland, I would think in my mind, of the guy that actually wins the job should get it. And, you know, as you produce and you get guys those opportunities, you'll continue to unearth good players. It's the reality for me that a third of the league is made up of college free agents. So it's not all about, you know, the first-round pick or the second-round pick and all the draft picks. So a third of the guys that play in this league weren't even drafted. So it doesn't mean we get them all right as far as how we select them. But if you give those opportunities to the right players and they earn them and they demonstrate that they're worthy of moving forward with, that we're going to continue to build and move it the right way. Our problem right now is we just got to find a way to finish it. We're in it. We got to finish it.
You said in the past that, you know, Johnny Manziel needs to mature. So with the latest incident, he's being investigated by the NFL to see if he violated the personal conduct policy. With all that said, are you second-guessing whether he's growing up the way you guys need him to?
No, I'm not second-guessing that at all. Again, I would tell you that from the interactions here in the building and the time that I spent with him and what I've seen of him here recently is definitely positive. And, you know, I understand where the league is and, you know, we're going to continue to kind of listen and wait to see what that all comes out. But, yeah, I think that he has matured. He has.
What do you think the problem with the run defense is as a former linebacker?
No, oh, that's an interesting one. As a former linebacker, I would tell you that, you know, you watch the game and you watch kind of what's happened and, you know, you want things to be differently. You know, right now we haven't found a way to stop it. We haven't. And doesn't mean we're not trying. It doesn't mean the guys aren't playing hard. We got to find an angle that gets us the result that we're looking for. Like I said before, it's not about effort. It's not about want to. It's not about desire, you know, time put in or coaching scheming or trying to work at it. Everybody's digging for the same result. Everybody's looking for the same result, which is just a way to find the answer to the question. Right now we haven't found it.
So does it come down to talent? Is there enough talent on this team to play better run defense?
Is there enough talent on the team to play better run defense? Like I said, I think from my perspective, it's all about trying to find the right mix of kind of how we get to the end of the road. We've had people here. We've moved on from people. We've brought in people. We've kept people. And, you know, we got to find a way to get the right combination of what we need to get the job done.
Has Jimmy Haslam spoken to you at all about where things are with this team recently? And are the responses that you've been giving us to some of these questions, is that basically how you've responded to him?
Yes. Yes, I have spoken to Jimmy, and the same answers that I give you, I give to Jimmy, that we're digging in this building as much as we can and turning over every stone to find the answers to the questions that need to be answered.
Do you think that Jimmy will be able to state your case in this if the losing continues and the seats grow warmer, would you be able to, you know, state your case to Jimmy and say, look, I picked a lot of guys that just aren't out there, and what if Johnny turns out to be good? What if Justin turns out to be good?
That's the great point of all of it, is that I don't know the answer to that question. Like I said, I'm going to work and do the best I can and work hard and continue to try to find players that make the Cleveland Browns win. And that's what it comes down to. You mean you got to go through this whole thing and you got to see the movie to the end. The reality is that my seat's no warmer than it was the day I got it. That's a perception that everybody has for me and not a perception I have for myself. So as I work through it, I'm going to continue to do the best that I can with what I have. And again, it sounds corny or it sounds like it's a scoutism. I'm just going to grind at it. I'm going to continue to try to find players, whether it be the college draft, whether it be via free agency, whether it be the guys that are internally in this building that get a chance to step up and demonstrate that they're capable. We're just going to continue to push in the right directions and the right ways, and we'll let the proof stand for itself. Like I said, this league's about winning. It's no secret. And when you don't win, it's no fun. Like, it's not like we're having fun sitting in here because we're 2-6. That's not the case.
This already a few times over, maybe it's
especially when you said that, you know, you're close and you need to finish yesterday. But aside from that, you know, people sit through the 24-0 segment of the most recent game, and they go through their latest 2-6, and there have been a lot of those. And come away from a game like that, the most recent game, kind of, you know, saying, and I heard it in kind of these exact words, where do we hang our hat as Browns fans, is what a lot of people are saying. Where do they hang their hat in terms of hope that it's not going to be 2-6 next year, and it's that they, there's a light at the end of the tunnel that's not a million miles away?
I would contend that light is much closer than that, and one instance, one circumstance doesn't dictate that. Again, I said this earlier, we just haven't found a way to finish it, to push it over the top. Last year we did. We won some games that were tight, you know, close quarter games, if you will. We haven't found a way to cross that threshold. So as we cross that threshold, then things could be different. They're not. The reality is we're not. We are a 2-6 football team, and that's not good enough. I firmly believe that. I know that's what this league is about. The reality is that we got to stick together, circle the wagons, and figure out how we can do better. And that's all of us. That's everybody circling the wagons. Are the college scouts doing enough on their end? Are the pro scouts doing enough on their end? Am I doing enough on my end? Are we supporting the coaches the right way? And every man's got to look at himself and decide if he's not doing his part or doing enough. That's really what it comes down to.
That was kind of an important question. Somebody asked me to ask you, what are you doing to support Pitt?
What am I doing to support Pitt?
Yeah.
This is kind of traditional, but we put together in advance. We look at the next opponent in detail to try to help the coaches so that they can prepare when it's time for them to prepare for the game plan. And as we go through post-game after-action reports, as we go through pre-game analysis of how we should try to attack the next opponent, I give him whatever advice and resources I can. If he needs something to happen from a player perspective because this player's hurt or this player's out or this guy's missing and we need to go in a different direction, we have those conversations and we work in unison to try to put the best roster together to go into a game. Again, there's no decision that, you know, I make in a vacuum, and I think Pet would say the same. I don't think he just sits up there and decrees that this is what's going to happen. We have those conversations, and then those conversations lead to the decisions that we make.
Before you left for your suspension, obviously it was right as the roster was kind of coming together. Did you talk to Mike at all about prior, what you guys wanted to do there, if it would come down to one or two guys, or was that a decision that they made on their own, or how did that come down?
We definitely had numerous conversations before I left. Again, I know people wonder kind of how did things work. I have full faith in the guys that work in and around me. So all of those guys, the processes that we come up with, how we work through things, a lot of things, I'll say whiteboarded. So you get in a room, you write out kind of where you're at, what's happening, who's on the roster, who's not, et cetera, and where those kind of balancing or teeter-totters are at. A plan is then created for what should happen, when it should happen, and how we should kind of go through it. And to know when I think those guys executed. That's really what it comes down to. From my perspective, I thought things went really smoothly while I was gone as far as watching from the outside in. You just kind of watch and you're like, okay, wow, that did happen. Okay, whoa, that happened too. So, I mean, couldn't do anything, but I definitely left some instruction and some comments as to where I thought things should be. But, again, it's not like I make these decisions on my own. So the group and the plan moved along according to how I thought it was going to move when I did leave.
Along those lines, were you in on the – I guess it would have to be a future plan, but the Austin Davis extension was done when you were gone?
Yeah, it was done when I was gone. But, again, from the candid part is that I've liked Austin Davis for a while, so it's not like he was new to us in the building as far as thinking about him. You know, as we looked at it and we talked about it, we had those conversations before I left of, you know, again, this magical word again, trade. Do you trade for a guy? Do you try to acquire him? And we just happened to have an opportunity to get him in the building, and then we had an opportunity to hold on to him and re-sign him. So I think all of those things took place, and I was excited to see it happen while I was gone.
Johnny admitting in this latest incident that he was drinking during the day, do you guys reasonably count on him going forward in the future?
Yes.
How concerned are you about that admission?
my concern is what I've kind of talked to Johnny about, and I'll leave it at that. We've had our conversations, and like I've said in the past, when I talk to players independently, then I generally try to keep those conversations private.
Do you have talent on the roster to finish these games you're talking about? You keep saying, you know, you just haven't been able to finish. Is there enough talent on the roster to finish with victories?
I think so. I really do. I mean, to me, it's no surprise. Like, okay, we haven't won, but close is not. There are no moral victories in this league, but I really don't feel like teams are just coming here and run us over the coals. I just don't feel like that. I don't think we've just been taken to the woodshed and teams have just kind of walked out of here and stomped on us and decided, hey, this team's terrible. I think that we've been in games, we've had a chance, we've had our opportunities to win, and we got to find a way to do that. And that comes to all of us. How does each man look at himself and decide, are they doing enough? I mean, there's a part of me that wishes I still had enough left in me to go suit up and play. I don't. And there's enough that I, you know, what else can I do? What else can I do? How can I help Pet? And to that point, I think he asked the question earlier, what am I doing to support Pet? Everything I can. Anything that I can do. I've made myself available in every capacity. So I will say this. I am passionate about the Browns, and I want the Browns to win. And I know fans are impatient. They're growing even more impatient as we're not winning. But the reality is that I think we're doing a lot of good things. We just got to, you know, we got to find a way to win. And it sounds corny. It sounds, you know, cliche. It sounds like what somebody else may have said when they sat up here and the same thing transpired 8, 9, 10 years ago, whatever the case may have been. The reality is that there are good football players on this football team. We just got to find a way to push it over, push over the line.
All right, mentioned the last one, the end of the movie. We haven't seen the end of the movie. Well, a lot of people here have seen the end of this movie, and it tends not to end very well. So you as the general manager of this team, how are you going to write a different script to the end of the movie?
The same way I've written the script already, is that you got to try to do things a little bit differently than people historically have done them. You know, you can't follow the same roadmap and get to a different destination. So in my mind, it comes down to, yeah, we do things a little bit differently than I think people have done historically. And with no risk comes no reward. And it doesn't mean we're going to be without bumps in the road. It doesn't mean we're going to struggle. Like, there are bumps. There are turns. I mean, there comes down to it where inevitably we got to find a way to, again, write the right end to the movie. And that's something we're going to have to focus on and something we're going to have to bring to fruition on our own.